In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Tuesday, February 26, 2013, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in our Executive Suite series, pleased to begin our CXO Surveys 2013 Priorities series, sponsored by VMware. My colleague Jason Miller in studio with me throughout the course of our survey series to talk about the priorities that CXOs across government are dealing with. Jason, it's good to have you here. Tell us about the surveys first and what we're going to hear over the course of the throughout this.
Well, this is something we've continued from last year, which we survey each CXO community. And in fact, we're going to do this once a month. So we're going to have these wonderful discussions every month with different CXOs. So this month, we're obviously starting with Roger Baker from the Veterans Affairs Department to talk with the CIO survey. Next month, we are working with DHS to get someone to talk about the Chief Acquisition Officer. And then we'll do CFO, Performance Improvement Officer, and CHCO. So we're going to hit the whole gamut. Then we'll start all over again in about 6 months with another CIO. Probably not Roger Baker, though.
Roger Baker is in studio with us today, and the reason that you won't likely be with us for this is because you won't be the Chief Information Officer at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Congratulations on your announcement that you're leaving VA.
Thank you. I find it interesting that to about the 95th percentile, the word I hear is congratulations, which says something about the job, doesn't it?
Well, it says that people understand that you've been in the office for a long period of time. You were telling us before you went on the air that you have been the longest serving CIO at VA. Is that correct?
Yeah, I am the curve breaker on the average tenure of CIOs at 4 years. I tell people that I've actually worked the 8 years. It's a billable hours thing. You know, I've gotten all the hours in for 8 years.
I wish you good luck in getting that invoice paid. I'm not sure that's going to be very successful, but best luck to you on that. Thank you for coming in. It's great to have you here to talk about this. Jason will start to walk us through the survey in a minute. But while we have the opportunity, I want to ask you, what are the things, as you look back on your tenure, that you're the most pleased with, and what are the things that you wish you had an opportunity to continue to work on?
Wow. The VA, when I came in, was very well situated as a consolidated IT organization for someone to really use that authority to improve the way the organization operated. It had just come together from, if you will, the old fragmented style that I'd been used to when I was at Commerce. And so really putting in the disciplines in the organization that have turned into an IT organization that runs the way you'd think a private sector organization should. We've got the financial disciplines. We know where every dollar is going, why it's going there, and what we're getting out of it. We've got the program management disciplines. When we see something that isn't executing, we stop it. It's just common sense things that every private sector IT organization does that, because of the fragmented nature of federal IT, frequently doesn't happen. So we've really made some great strides inside of VA strictly because of those authorities. And the list of things that I wish we could do would be legion. There are so many things that we'd like to do to provide better services to veterans, whether it's external websites and leveraging on more things like Blue Button, for example, or taking our e-benefits website from 2 million people to 20 million people accessing it, or just continue to leverage some of the great things that the staff inside a VA does. The list of wish I had is much longer than the list of proud I did.
Your name has been taken in vain on this radio station on any number of occasions in the last 4 years as the person who is kind of in the gold standard position that other CIOs would like to have, where you have some budget autonomy, and we talk about your relationship with General Secretary Shinseki and your other CXO colleagues at VA. Are you seeing progress among your CIO peers that they're getting some of the same autonomy and the same decision-making power that you're getting to kind of fulfill the vision of Clinger Cohen?
Yeah, I think we are. You look at GSA now, and you see them going down the path that VA has gone down. I've had conversations with Casey Coleman and Dan Tangerlini to talk about the what have you seen, how did you do this, what are we going to run into kind of conversations. So they're clearly headed down that path. I think you see other folks that are gathering benefits from the fact that we have been able to demonstrate that if you provide a CIO with these authorities, you will get better performance out of your IT organization. And if we haven't done anything more than that, then we've done an awful lot for, if you will, the inside the government approach to how we do IT.
And when you came into this office, certainly you understood that you had different authorities than many CIOs had. What's your perception of those now and your ability to use them compared to what you thought you were getting yourself into when you started?
Legally, I understood what the authorities were. If you have to have the combination of a boss who's willing to let you exercise them and the legal authorities, the budgetary pieces of this. The first month I was there, we stopped 45 ongoing IT projects. And while technically I could do that because of the legal authorities, you don't do that if your boss is not going to provide you with the level of support that you need to do that. By the time I got to the point of stopping those programs, everybody inside the VA knew that you weren't going to run to the secretary and say, why is he being so mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
That was a done deal. It takes the two of them together. You've got to have the legal authorities and the management backing to make these things happen.
And I imagine one's no good without the other.
I wouldn't say no good, but there sure is a leverage effect between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
I had great backing from the secretary at Commerce. Secretary Daley was a great secretary. But the way that the IT budget was set up, it didn't report to me. And so if we were going to stop a program, it was 3 or 4 months of discussion with the secretary before he got to the point where he had to make the decision. So it's just I think the two have to go together.
And a multi-layered decision, I imagine, that didn't just involve you and him working on a decision-making process. There were a lot of other stakeholders in there, too.
Oh, and at the point you started to talk about wanting to stop a program at Commerce, the Hill became involved. All sorts of constituents became involved. And we've got great relationships with the Hill inside of VA, but we also get a lot of support from the Hill folks because we communicate with them and because they see us doing the right things, I think. So it's just a lot easier environment, the two of them together.
Has that relationship changed during your tenure, do you think, in any direction, your relationship with or the agency's relationship with the Hill, vis-a-vis IT?
Absolutely. One of the things I do is I go to the Hill on a monthly basis, and I sit down and I'll take, a few PowerPoint slides and talk about what I want to talk about, and then we'll talk about what they want to talk about. You'll notice that it was about 22 months between hearings for me, and that's not a coincidence. If the Hill does not feel like they're getting the information that they need to do the appropriate oversight, they're going to bring you up and they're going to put you under oath and they're going to ask you. If they feel like they're getting the information that they need, you can go about your merry way and do your job and just have the conversations with them. So that has been a significant change, that relationship change, and it's been very beneficial, I believe, to both the Hill and to me.
A little birdie told me you're actually headed there very soon.
I believe 9:15 tomorrow morning I will have my right hand in the air and we'll be talking about testimony on the IEHR program.
It's interesting you bring up the communication issue, because I think that's one of the things that CIOs struggle with. And because you're a political appointee, does that make that communication with the Hill? And I'll tell you, the communication with the press, which we really appreciate the monthly data breach call meetings, as we were talking about earlier, even though the data breaches are pretty boring in terms of reports, there's always plenty to talk about. Does that make it easier for you? Or because a career person may not having, I think you were a career person at Commerce, you weren't able to go to the Hill maybe as easily?
Well, so let's talk about the data breach report for a second, because trust me, when I'd been at VA for, half a year, and I said, hey, let's take these data breach reports that we have to send to the Congress every month and let's do a press call on them. There was not universal acclaim that we should go out and publicly talk about the data breaches that were occurring at the VA. But the fact is, if you want to be a transparent organization, you've got to talk about the good and the bad. At the same time, an organization that only talks about its good stuff is called a marketing organization. If you want to talk about both, then you're a transparent organization.
But at the same time, let me just interrupt you. If you did not get ahead of the call, you'd get worse coverage. I mean, I'll tell you, one of the biggest things I learned from the General Services Administration is when they had the issue with FTS and FSS and what they called the parking of money in the 2000s, they always got ahead of the IG report. And they always got much better press by getting ahead of it than being behind it. And so I think I don't know if that played into it.
It absolutely plays into it. I think there's a natural thing that occurs. If you view someone as coming to you and telling you the truth, whether it's good or bad, you're going to give them the benefit of the doubt when they bring you the issue. If you view them as trying to hide the ball on you, then you're going to try and find out what else is there. And you see this all the time in the communication side of things. I mean, we have some unfun parts of the data breach report. But I think the tribute to the secretary, to our public affairs organization, is we have a monthly call and we talk about those issues. Sometimes we can make them funny. I'm sure you've heard me talk about stupid human tricks when we talk about the data breach report. You can't make up what 315,000 people will do relative to information protection. On the flip side, we've had some losses that we've had to talk about, that have impact on veterans, and making certain that we're dealing with those impacts the right way. The president came in, this administration came in with the full intention of being a transparent organization. It's much harder than it looks and much harder than it sounds to be a transparent organization, but we've made a lot of progress there, and frankly, I feel it's to our advantage.
Roger, we appreciate you being here, and we are going to dig into our CIO survey in just a few minutes. My colleague Jason Miller joining me in studio as Roger Baker at the Department of Veterans Affairs is here for our CIO survey, part of Federal News Radio's CXO Surveys 2013 Priority Series, sponsored by VMware. We'll continue in just a moment.
Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive for VMware, from the panel discussion, The Federal IT Challenge, IT Reform, Where Do We Go Next?, brought to you by VMware.
By virtue of the technologies that were put in place years ago, are how applications were married to servers, were married to storage, all in a vertical approach that was very siloed and very, wasteful in terms of how effectively those resources were used. The environment itself needs to continue to be consolidated. But also the processes used to acquire these technologies needs to be simplified as well. With virtualization, cloud computing, mobile technologies, the cycle time for the ability to adapt and use those technologies is measured now in weeks, if not days. But still, the procurement cycle is measured in months, if not years. And this misalignment is wreaking havoc.
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.
Looking to make a career move in technology? Start your search at PowerJobs.com, the new career site made for Washington's top talent. New on PowerJobs.com this week.
Tax Manager Deloitte, Chief Architect Northrop Grumman, Senior Strategy Policy Advisor AARP, Communications Director Luntz Global. Apply for these and other leading positions today at PowerJobs.com.
PowerJobs.com, finally, a career site made for you.
Caps fans, tickets are going fast. You don't want to miss any of the action.
Capital score!
As the Caps take on the Carolina Hurricanes on Tuesday, February 26th at 7 p.m. Do your part in building America's hockey capital and buy your tickets today by calling 800-745-3000. That's 800-745-3000. Or go to WashingtonCaps.com.
Mom, I had the best dream.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon. It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle is safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at HouseLogic.com.
Paid for by the National Association of Realtors. The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
I'm Emily Kopp. On Wednesday's Federal Drive, Merit Systems Protection Board Chairman Susan Grudman explains your rights if you're furloughed. And textbooks are so old school. The Federal Law Enforcement Training Center's Sandy Peavy tells us about the latest, coolest ways officers brush up on skills. It all starts at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And for the latest federal news, check out federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Taking a close look at our CIO survey today, part of Federal News Radio's CXO Surveys 2013 Priority Series, sponsored by VMware. My colleague Jason Miller in studio with me. And Jason, first, before we get into the questions and talk about them with Roger, tell us who exactly we're looking at here as the people who took this survey.
Sure. Now, we put the survey out to more CIOs, deputy CIOs, senior IT people than ever before. I think in the end it was something to the effect of 148 different people from around the government. So large agencies, small agencies, medium-sized agencies. And we got a good response, about 24 CIOs, deputy CIOs, and senior IT managers responded. You think 24 is not very big, but if you think about it, it's about 15-16% response rate.
I responded.
You responded. Well, it's anonymous, so I would never know.
Sure.
So just a quick breakdown. Seven of the CIOs were cabinet level, such as VA, transportation. Two were what we call large agencies, like GSA, EPA, and 15 were on the smaller independent agencies. And those are everything from, Nuclear Regulatory Commission all the way on down to, Morris Udall K Foundation. Of those, 21 of the 24 were career employees and two were politicals, and one person skipped the question entirely. And 15 were CIOs, 17 were deputy CIOs, and two were the other. So those basic demographics, as I said, the goal here is to understand what priorities, what CIOs are thinking, what's going on. And that was actually the first question we asked was, what are your top priorities for 2013? We asked the CIOs to rank them in order. And surprisingly, or not so surprisingly, the number one was security. IT security came up as the top one. And then as you looked down throughout, you had other ones that came up, such as moving systems to the cloud, mission critical systems to the cloud, and then also things such as workforce training was always a big one too. Roger, from your perspective, security. I think that seems always to be one A and one B. But having other CIOs say about it, it's probably all not that surprising from your perspective.
I'm surprised it's not rated higher.
Yeah.
The first thing, as Jason mentioned, is security. Second is moving back office systems or commodity IT to the cloud. That ranked very highly. Just about everybody ranked it in their top five, it looks like. Is that process getting smoother than it's been for the last couple of years? Some of these transitions have been a little bit rocky.
They have been, but I think there's a lot of stuff that's been moving to the cloud that just hasn't been making any press. For example, all of our significant new benefit system at VA run outside of VA. They're running on a cloud infrastructure. We have said that and said it fairly publicly, but it's also not something where we're out saying, boy, we're moving all these large things to the cloud. When you do a large-scale single procurement, like our cloud email procurement or GSA's cloud email procurement, those tend to make news. But I think there's a lot of things that are moving, let's say, the cloud direction. And if you're a CIO, you can put a lot of things under that category of cloud that don't go all the way to somebody else's infrastructure. I don't know where it runs. It's somebody else's app. I don't know where my data is, but I'm real happy with what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
That far right definition of cloud.
Yeah.
All the way down to, when we first started talking cloud at VA, we operate in effect a cloud for our health information systems. The medical centers don't know where their Vista system is running. They just know that the service is coming to them over the wire. You can anywhere in that large spectrum, you can call it cloud realistically.
And it seems to me, too, from a coverage perspective, it should, at this point in time, become no longer particularly newsworthy or interesting that these things are moving to the cloud with a cloud-first policy in place. That's the way it should be happening. So when we hear and see that it is happening, we kind of say, okay, well, that's pretty much now supposed to be standard operating procedure.
Yeah, if you think about the life cycle of a buzzword, cloud has followed a path rarely seen, which is a buzzword that actually starts out fairly big, slacks off, you go through the doubt and uncertainty period, and then it really starts taking off. It is a cost saver for government and for the private sector. It's not, we're past the buzzword phrase at this point with cloud. We ought to retire the phrase cloud, call it something else that, that doesn't have that association with the buzzword on it, and just recognize that a lot of our systems are now not running in the data centers that the government owns.
Isn't that another name called ASP? Do you remember the 80s?
Oh, yeah. Software as a service.
Software.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's
managed services. I mean, yeah. That's why it's so interesting when you talk about the buzzword has lost its shine. I mean, right now the big buzzword is big data, and we do have a question in the survey about big data, but that's getting all the attention. You see a lot of conferences, how to manage big data, what to do with big data. And the question always comes back to, well, hasn't data always been there? Hasn't always been big?
Yeah.
What's the difference? So do you think the difference now with cloud is that it is the accepted way of moving in accepted way of putting at least the commodity IT there in someone else's kind of infrastructure? And the big deal is now the mission critical piece?
Yeah. So if you think about this, all of it under the thing that every CIO is always thinking about, which is, how can I save money and keep getting the mission done? How can I find more funds to do the things that I need to get done? Cloud fits inside of that. How do I better optimize my data centers, my data center operations? So I think, the reason it's not a buzzword is that there is a there from a cloud standpoint. A lot of the other buzzwords were great architecture. Is the phrase that we frequently use. Somebody had a really good idea. It sounded wonderful, but when you got down to it, CIOs couldn't figure out why they would put money on it in order to get money back.
Mm-hmm.
When you start thinking about cloud, you've now got a good example in a variety of different areas of how it can save you operational dollars that you can then pull back and apply to something else that you want to do.
One more question about this top priorities for 2013, then we'll take a break and go to some of these other issues too. The third issue, the third top priority kind of fits into that, using IT to ease the budget pressures your agency's facing. This is something that you've made a priority during your time at VA. How has that paid off in your view? And what are there things that you think you could have done that you didn't get a chance to continue to maximize budget by using IT?
So we started something about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, called the Ruthless Reduction Task Force. And what we're doing is just looking at all of those aspects of how could you reduce the dollars. So the positive side of that is we've executed a number of them and been able to pull dollars out of some areas and put them into other areas where we want to do things. But I think at one point we had about 50 of those projects ongoing that had some sense that they would save us dollars, and we haven't been able to execute all of them. So, yeah, there are a lot of things that if we could, we would continue to, or I know we can and we will continue to pursue down the path of just doing the same thing for a less expensive price and taking those dollars and using them elsewhere. Best example is that since 2010, VAIT has had, in effect, no budget increases, and we've gotten a lot more done. Our demand from our customers has gone up about 40% in that same time period that our budget has gone up zero. What that says is that we were able to find a lot of dollars inside of our budget that we could better optimize, let's just say, and put to a better purpose than they were going to. And that really is, to me, that's how you give yourself a budget increase without having to go back to Congress and justify one, because that's going to be really hard for the next few years.
Roger Baker is the Chief Information Officer at the Department of Veterans Affairs, at least for a short period of time.
Oh, man.
Not for long. Well, don't say, oh, man, it was your decision. It's not like I'm kicking you out.
But you're making it sound bad. I mean, you know, I thought congratulations was good.
Well, we gave you those congratulations at the top of the show. Roger's here with us today to talk about our CIO survey as part of Federal News Radio's CXO Surveys 2013 Priorities Series, sponsored by VMware. My colleague Jason Miller and I will be back in a moment to talk more with Roger on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
What you don't know about federal pay, benefits, and retirement can cost you. Get the answers you need with a free publication from NARF, the experts on federal retirement and benefits. Download FAQs about your federal benefits today at fedfaqs.org. NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, unravels the most complex rules and requirements feds encounter. Download your free guide today at fedfaqs.org. That's FEDFAQS.org.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPInc.com. That's NITPInc.com for more information.
Today is the day to make the switch, to choose to save money with Ackerman Security Systems. Why Ackerman? Because security is what they do, and they do it better than anyone else.
I was looking at ways to reduce expenses at home. With no cost to switch and only $18.95 a month for burglary, fire, and medical monitoring, I made the switch to Ackerman Security. Now I'm saving $25 a month. That's over $300 a year. On top of saving money, I feel more safe. Ackerman has one of the few monitoring centers that is both UL and CSAA 5 Diamond certified. So I know the most highly qualified operators are responding to my emergency.
Keeping your family and home safe and secure doesn't have to break the bank. Why wait? Call Ackerman today and get up to 3 months free of Ackerman's award-winning basic monitoring. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Blueberries and strawberries. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Researchers think blueberries and strawberries may be good for the heart. They saw this in 18 years of data on 93,600 U.S. women ages 25 to 42. Women who had three or more servings a week had a one-third lower risk of heart attack. The berries have flavonoids, which can help to counter changes in the arteries that can lead to heart attacks. At the University of East Anglia in England, Eden Cassidy says other fruits and vegetables also have flavonoids.
If you add more red, blue colored fruits and vegetables to your normal diet, you can reduce your risk of having a heart attack. Start incorporating these berries into your weekly shop.
The study in Circulation, Journal of the American Heart Association, was supported by the U.S. National Institutes of Health. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable. But I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Jason Miller and I talking to Roger Baker today as part of our CIO survey. Federal News Radio's CXO Surveys 2013 Priorities Series, sponsored by VMware. And, Roger, you are subject to the same kinds of budget situation that everybody in government is subject to. Budgets are shrinking, and yet some of your colleagues, according to one of our questions in our CIO survey, are expecting their budgets to either stay the same or go up. Only 41% of our respondents say they're expecting their budgets to be reduced. Is that a surprise? Because I thought that was unusual.
So I'm looking at the question, and it's related to the 2013 budget.
Mm-hmm.
At the time of the survey, it's not clear. We probably would have known what our 2013 budget was going to look like. There may be some folks that knew they were getting an increase in there. But IT is an investment. You know, one of the things that I think we've made a lot of progress on in the last 4 years is convincing folks on the Hill and other places that if you want to be able to reduce costs in the business areas, you've got to be able to increase your investment in automation. And I think if you look at it as a return on investment standpoint, you may well see some dollars go up from an IT perspective.
What's been the key to that success at getting Congress to understand that?
Well, you know, from my perspective, I know from at VA, the key has been delivering. When Congress can see the systems actually delivering that they're paying for and the business process getting automated, they start to believe that that it was a good investment. I mean, there's no way that we could have paid all of the 500,000 students in college with the GI Bill if we didn't have an automated system to do that work. So you know, you can go pro and con on the various aspects of that, and I believe recently in a hearing in the press people did. But fundamentally, there is a system there that is paying the bills. And in the past, you know, a lot of times in the federal government, those systems have failed to deliver at all. So I think delivery is a key aspect of that.
And then what's the key aspect, in your view, to the delivery so that you can then go to the Hill as far as the performance management issues go?
Well, you know, we talked right at the very beginning about the authorities that the CIO at the VA has. You know, we have gotten to be just fanatics about making the dates that we set. I've probably said this 1,000 times, but, you know, you either make the date you set for your program or you have an engraved invitation to meet with the assistant secretary. And when you walk into that meeting with your entire team, there is no guarantee your program is going to walk out with any dollars left in it, which then is a substantial motivation for everybody associated with the program to not go to that meeting. There's one very easy way to not go to that meeting: meet your date.
Mm-hmm.
It's a virtuous cycle that ends up with 80% or more on an annual basis of our IT projects meeting the dates that they set. And from my standpoint, that's been the key thing on the Hill of being able to say we meet 80% of our dates. Life isn't perfect. You know, if it was perfect, you wouldn't need me to manage this thing. But 80% is a heck of a number.
I think the other piece of this is when it comes to IT and funding IT, people get it. People, the ubiquity of technology, you thought it by the early 2000s, mid 2000s, people would get it. But it's really taken a longer time for people to, not just they have a computer on their desk and a computer at home, but now the smartphone and the tablet. And people kind of, I think the Hill and the business folks have a better understanding of what they need to do to get IT going, meaning not just, hey, we need IT, but why, the impact it has. I mean, are you seeing a better understanding when you talk to people on the Hill or when you talk to the program folks?
I am, but you know, it's interesting. What you find is that folks have this impression that it's easy. You know, I can go out and buy a mobile device and connect to apps all over the world, and why is it so hard to do this in government? And, you know, there are a couple answers to that one. The first is information security. I can just field all of those apps if I don't have to worry about keeping people's information secure, but they take great umbrage if I don't, and it's much more expensive to provide that security in there. The second thing, and I had this discussion with a congresswoman in a hearing last week, when you're in the private sector and you're building an IT system, if you find a business rule that's going to be really expensive to build into your IT system, you go sit with the business people and say, let's find another way around this. You know, what could we do a little bit differently? When you have a law that specifies exactly how the law has to be implemented, as an IT person, you don't go to Congress and say, I need you to rewrite that law. You know, you go do. And typically, in a especially in a high-tech IT organization, there's constant trade-off between the technologists and the business people. What can we do? How can we do it better? And so when you start talking about why IT is so expensive in the federal government, those are two aspects right there that that are pretty important.
But why can't you go to Congress and ask them to change the law? I mean, Congress doesn't ever change laws. I mean, that's – I understand. But if you went to Congress and said and presented a case that says, I could do this – let's just pick a veterans benefits system of some sort you mentioned earlier. I could do it for $10 million, but with this law that you – it's going to cost me $20 million, and here's why, and here's three different experts that are non-VA related telling me this. I mean, could you make that case, and then they could say, oh, well, that does – and then they could change it? Or that's a – it's a moot point because that's the law and that's what you have to do, and to lobby in that sense, it's not a good use of your time.
It is it's so hard, and I'm just giving you a perspective as a taxpayer at this point because I really don't gain any extra perspective on it as an assistant secretary. But it is so hard to gain the support necessary in both houses to get a bill passed that going back and making a modification to it subsequent would be a huge lift. And so the kinds of modifications you see is, can we provide better benefits to our constituents? My view, and again, not as an assistant secretary, but as a taxpayer, is that, you know, hey, we can save you a few million bucks if you change this rule. While interesting, and I don't mean to say that nobody's interested in saving a few million bucks, they've also got, they look at the task ahead of them to gather all the votes necessary to make that change.
Roger Baker's here in studio with my colleague Jason Miller and I. He is reviewing our CIO survey, part of Federal News Radio CXO Survey's 2013 Priority Series, sponsored by VMware. When we come back, we're going to try to squeeze two buzzwords into one segment, Roger. We're going to talk about big data, and we're going to talk about mobility when Jason and I continue with Roger on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Back in a moment.
Advanced Alliance Solutions team, led by Technical and Management Resources, Inc., is a GSA Alliance small business contract holder. Here's President and CEO, Linda Carr.
The Advanced Alliance Solutions team consists of seven IT firms. Collectively, our core competencies cover all of the functional areas of the Alliance contract and supports agencies' enterprise IT requirements. For potential small business teaming opportunities, please contact us at advancedalliant.com.
To learn more, visit advancedalliant.com.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on 1500 AM at 10 AM. Please join me this week for my special guest, Lawrence Hoffman, CPA and forensic accounting expert at RAFA PC. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Reston, Virginia. If you want to know more about us, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Hundreds of thousands of furloughs and cuts to every agency program. That's the reality if sequestration goes into effect on March 1st. Will Congress and the White House be able to reach a deal to avert the $85 billion in cuts this year? Will federal employees be able to survive the one-day-per-week furloughs? And how hard will industry be hit? Federal News Radio is your source for the most up-to-date information on sequestration. Find it all at federalnewsradio.com/sequestration. Ever wonder what makes great leaders so great? Federal News Radio's special online series, Top Leaders in Federal Service, reveals the secrets of the best federal leaders. Check out our videos of the people you nominated. Our exclusive survey of the federal workforce reveals what leadership qualities you most admire and the worst offenses committed by bad leaders. And find out what some managers are doing to promote leadership from within. Top Leaders in Federal Service, starting Wednesday, only on federalnewsradio.com. Search leadership.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Reviewing our CIO survey, part of Federal News Radio's CXO Surveys 2013 Priority Series, sponsored by VMware. My colleague Jason Miller and I talking to Roger Baker, the Chief Information Officer and Assistant Secretary at the Department of Veterans Affairs. And you mentioned the buzzword big data earlier in the program, and we've talked about it a little bit. We see from our survey that your colleagues in the IT community and government, by a margin of about 59%, are saying that they are somewhat concerned about improving the way that they manage big data. The collection is one thing, the management is another thing, and I guess analytics is the third thing in this kind of triangle of big data that we're learning more about. Which of those are the challenges, do you think, and which of those are you starting to see some movement on? Yeah, and not just at VA, but among your peers in government, too.
Well, but I can't speak to VA best. Analytics is the big piece for us. We have been collecting encounter data for millions of people over 20 years with our Vista electronic health record system. And we have all that data now collected into a single repository where we can do the analysis. It's going to tell us some very, very interesting things about population health and the impacts of various, if you will, stimuli on that. So there's a lot to be gained from that, and the analytics is the key piece of things. It falls, you know, VA has a research budget, and a large part of that research budget goes to looking at that type of information. I think we've gotten pretty good at gathering data. I mean, if you think about it, I've got several areas of that, whether it's the Weather Service or the Census or Veterans Health. You know, the sensors are in effect there. The data is gathered. The real issue is how do you do the analysis, both the computing power, but also just the brain power to look at what's coming out of the analysis. What are the tools that are going to provide you with an effective view of the data that's there?
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm hearing from vendors that are working with agencies. They're saying that the challenge in big data is different than some of the other buzzwords that we've dealt with and some of the other topics we've talked about because it's more of an abstract proposition. You have to be creative and thoughtful about what it is you want the data to tell you because you have to then use those tools that you're talking about to go and pull that information out. It's just this massive stuff until you figure out what it is you want to know.
Exactly. It takes a lot of brain power to really be able to understand where the researchers want to go with the big data stuff. It's not something where you send your business developer out to sit down and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the folks that we talk to in that area are doing just hugely interesting things with the tools that they have. And some of them are appropriate and some of them aren't for what we do. It's an interesting area.
You mentioned the brain power a couple of times, and that goes back to the idea of workforce. And does the workforce need to be trained differently? And that was actually one of the things we've asked the CIOs to rank. And actually, that came up fourth of all the rankings. I mean, number one, when you look through it, was the idea of using more business intelligence analytics tools. Number two was data standards. Number three was relooking at our business processes to improve how we use and manage data. And then number four was the idea of number four was moving databases to the cloud. Number five was the training. How are you guys at VA dealing with that training issue? Because as you said, it's a different viewpoint, a different way to approach data.
I think there are things you can train people on and things that they have to be training themselves on. I can train people on information security. I can train them on procedures. I can give them the basics of program management. But if you're going to be great at it, it has to be a passion for what you do. You have to want to put in all the detail of being a great program manager. The certifications are one thing. The focus and the attention to detail and attention to quality is another. When you think about big data, I can't think of how I would train someone from a big data standpoint. That really is a find. When you look at our key person inside of VA, Jack Bates, and the work that he's done with the corporate data warehouse, honestly, I don't know how we found Jack. I don't know how we retained Jack, but boy, do I love Jack. for the quality of work that he does and what, you know, what he does is critical to our health organization.
Well, I want to move on to mobility in the time that we have left in this segment. You and I have talked about mobility on a number of occasions and how you're trying to roll that out inside VA, particularly in the hospitals. What are some of the lessons that you've learned that you would tell your friends in the CIO community over coffee who are kind of coming behind you and trying to deal, not necessarily just with BYOD, but just with a larger fleet of mobile devices than they've ever used before?
Yeah, it really is all about the security and the infrastructure to support the devices. You know, we don't have a lot of devices out there right now, but we're able to do, because we put all the work in up front, we're able to do some really interesting things. When the folks that do the homeless count came to us and said, we'd like to pilot a mobile app to help us in the homeless count, in 2 weeks, the staff organization under Dave Peters and Kathy Frisbee put together a pilot app, including all the security, to allow us to go out and collect personally identifiable information from folks that are homeless and start matching up how do we provide them with better services. So once you've got that infrastructure there, then when they come forward with some of the waivers that you have to do, because you can't do anything in government in 2 weeks without waivers all over the place, then as a CIO, you can accept some of those risks related to those waivers because you know that the supporting infrastructure is there. So the big lesson learned for me is we started with the infrastructure, and that's paying off big benefits right now.
We just have a few minutes left, Roger. So when we come back, let's talk about cybersecurity. We've kind of bitten around the edges of it throughout the course of the program. Let's focus on that to wrap up our conversation today on In-Depth with Francis Rose, talking about our CIO survey with Roger Baker of the Department of Veterans Affairs. It's part of our CXO Surveys 2013 Priority Series, sponsored by VMware. Back in a minute on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Washington Wizards are back.
Spins, fades, banks, scores, and one. Okafor.
Up court to Crawford. No look pass. Ariza stuffed to it.
Crawford drives baseline. Whips it in the corner. Sheldon Mack for three.
Single game tickets are on sale now. Call 202-661-5050. That's 202-661-5050. Or buy your tickets online at washingtonwizards.com/tickets.
What is national health security and how do we get there as a country? How are we strengthening public health and medical preparedness, response, and recovery capabilities? And what is being done to ensure the availability of safe and effective medical countermeasures in the event of a public health emergency? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and more with Dr. Nicole Lurie, Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response with the Department of Health and Human Services, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Mythics Consulting is hiring. Mythics Consulting is an award-winning Oracle Platinum specialized consulting partner working to enable the Oracle-powered enterprise. And Mythics Consulting is looking for IT professionals that get the job done. Available positions include leading Oracle solution areas like applications, enterprise content management, and big data. Mythics Consulting is the go-to Oracle systems integrator with open positions and ready to hire high-skilled IT professionals. Check it out at mythics.com/careers. That's mythics.com/careers.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Join Affirm on March 14th for an in-depth luncheon briefing on building a strong cyber defense workforce. They'll explore agency and industry cyber priorities in light of the administration's mandates and pending legislation. Our own Emily Kopp will moderate a panel of government experts in a discussion of how agencies are grooming talent to combat cybercrime. That's Affirm's upcoming luncheon on cybersecurity, March 14th at noon at the Washington Plaza Hotel. Register now at Affirm.org.
You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Just a few moments left in our conversation about our CIO survey. Part of Federal News Radio's CXO Surveys 2013 Priority Series, sponsored by VMware. Roger Baker of VA is our guest.
Roger, any conversation we talk with you about always comes back around to cybersecurity. We've mentioned a couple times. One of the questions we asked in our survey was, what are some steps your agency could take today that would improve your cybersecurity? And not surprising, the number one answer by far was workforce training, with a close second, not quite close, but a second place of better patch management. From your perspective, there's a lot of efforts going around continuous monitoring. There's a lot of efforts going around better training. Where do you see some of the areas that either from VA's perspective or just from talking with your colleagues that agencies could do today that really could make an improvement to their cybersecurity?
So I would give you two classic phrases. One is defense in depth, and the other is trust but verify. When you talk about defense in depth and you talk about training, to me, the critical training is not necessarily of the IT employees, but of every employee in the agency. You know, when you receive an email and it's got a link in it, do you know to not go click that link? And when you talk about 315,000 employees, it doesn't take much of a percentage for you to start seeing things that are going to impact your cybersecurity. So there's training there. And then, you know, when you talk about trust but verify, one of the things we've found is with a huge IT infrastructure, you know, going back to that small percentage again, if you have 360,000 desktops, it doesn't take many of them that are not patched in order to cause a problem for you. It doesn't take many of them that are running some piece of software that has vulnerabilities to cause a problem for you. So you put those two together, and it really is just everybody doing their job all day long. You know, I had a great conversation with the secretary the other day and kind of walked him through all the things that we do for defense in depth in the infrastructure. And it's pretty impressive and pretty important as well, because no layer is going to stop everything by itself.
We just have a minute left, Roger. We talked during the last break that this is your second tour. You've mentioned your time at the Commerce Department during our conversation today. What's different this time around, and what's the same this time around?
Well, I mean, I have the best IT job in the federal government. To me, there's just no doubt about it, and I've got 3.5 billion reasons for that. I think I've got, this time around, working day in and day out with the folks in the government, a great appreciation for the quality of work that they bring to things. It is amazing to me with what the government pays for IT folks that we're able to retain some of the tremendous skills that we've got. These folks have a passion for the mission. They love what they're doing, and that's why they're here. They happen to make a living at it, but they love what they're doing.
I can't imagine that you'll be out of circulation very long, so enjoy your time off, and we'll look forward to catching up with you when you catch your breath and have a chance to decide what you're going to do next, Roger. It's great to see you.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Roger.
Roger Baker here in our studio as part of our CIO survey discussion. That's part of Federal News Radio's CXO Surveys 2013 Priority Series, sponsored by VMware.